Good to see everybody this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare for worship. We want to find out who is here today. It's very easy way we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information, then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it was started on your pew. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, tear the pages that were used today, tear them out, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. We appreciate your help with that. Several announcements I'll draw your attention to. Most of them are listed in your bulletin under opportunities for the week and upcoming events. Just a reminder about a couple of things. No children's time today. Since we're recognizing baptism and communion, there is no children's time today. Also, grief support will be next Sunday. So make note of that. Grief support is next week, but we are having the prayer group this Thursday at 10 o'clock. Normal schedule this evening for youth, except for the music events. We will get the normal youth schedule started. There is a couple of new events that are happening this week. We are having two aerobics classes that are beginning, and we're excited about that. On Tuesday morning, the Cobbles are practicing right now for aerobics. They're not hopefully coming to either of the aerobics classes, because you just don't want to see that. Aerobics for senior adults will be Tuesday morning, 9:15 to 10 o'clock. That will be in the gym. And then Thursday evenings, aerobics for all, regardless of experience, from 6 until 7. That will be through February. That will be in Smith Hall. The gym is full. We're going to get that class in there as soon as we can into the gym. But for the next couple of months, that will meet in Smith Hall. So Tuesday, 9:15 for senior adults. And then Thursday at 6 o'clock for all ages there in Smith Hall. Let me see. Many other things that are listed here for upcoming events and opportunities of the week. And just make sure that you read over those and see all the many ways, all the things that are happening here. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate that, you putting your information down, your name and information on the pew pad a moment ago. We would like to give something to you if you are a guest. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We invite you, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. You'll also find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of how College Park came to be. So thank you for being a part of worship today. So anybody watched the Weather Channel last night? Is anybody still hoping you have a snow day tomorrow? Anybody? Why are there more adults raising their hands? You've had 2 weeks. But yes, we always want that extra snow day. We just need just one more snow day. It's funny how the things that we pay attention to and what get our attention. And so often, God has been trying to get our attention to tell us something, to teach us something new. And so often we go without listening because we just don't have the ears to hear. This morning, may we hear God like we were looking for that snow day. Something new, something different. Hear God speak. That's why we come to worship. It's to be in His presence. To celebrate baptism and communion, the new start that He gives to all of us. Let us prepare for worship.
God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain.
how true it is that Jesus is a beautiful name. Thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to worship His name. As we have celebrated His birth, the coming of Jesus into the world, we have much to be thankful for. Father, on this day, as we look towards one who's being baptized, coming into the family to join in communion, may we reflect on all the ways that you have blessed us. From the moment we trusted Christ, through our own baptisms, through this day, if we stop to count all the blessings you have given, we will never stop. So may our lives be a testimony of our gratitude to you for your presence in our lives and in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've heard me say before that baptism days are my favorite days of the year. They really are. It's a celebration. It's a time to recognize a believer as they come to know Jesus Christ and are willing to take a public stand through their baptism. So this morning, we come together to celebrate Aaron Morris and his family and all those who've been a part of his journey. And so to do that, I would invite you, if you're a family, or if you've been a part in his journey through discipleship, mission friends, choirs, RAs, any area, Sunday school, any area where you've had contact with helping to Aaron to grow to know his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would you join family in standing, please? and his mother has come to issue a charge and challenge to him today. Aaron, because you publicly profess Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is a pleasure, it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your dad's here, Aaron, and he's got a candle for you, and we want you to take that candle as a reminder to let your light shine before men. We told you in my office, you've already done that once today. And what happened as a result of that, that's awesome. And I challenge you to continue doing that, okay? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the chance to share in the journey of our children, adults. Father, we know that's your plan for us, is to come to know you in a way that's deeply personal. So we pray that even as Aaron has made his stand, that you would challenge our hearts. Believer, challenge our hearts so that we would stand up for the God who loves us, created us. For the non-believer, challenge those hearts. Draw them closer to you, Lord. Let them see of your love and mercy. And may our lives reinforce and support that kind of love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. As we have approached the new year, instead of our own resolutions or self-improvement goals, it would be better to ask, what does the Lord desire of me? What does the Lord desire of us as his body of believers? The Bible says in Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and for your grace. We love you. Help us as we begin a new year to seek your desires for us and your guidance, and for us becoming more Christ-like and walking humbly with you. Thank you for these new believers who have come forward in baptism today and their decision to walk with you. Guide in their spiritual growth, and us as their church family in helping them grow. Thank you for your many blessings and gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Guide us in being good stewards of our time, talents, and gifts, and giving back to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Gracious Father, thank you for the testimony that's given, not only through public baptism, Father, but also through song. As we lift up our hearts, we lift up our talents that you've given us to give praise to you, Father. And we recognize you as the giver of all of our talents and all that we have and our abilities. So, Father, we just pray that today would continue to challenge us to be who you've created us to be. And God, we pray that as we do that, that we would give you the glory for all that you're going to do through us, that you're going to teach us, even as you correct us and nurture us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you, if you would, take your Bible. If you didn't bring yours, there should be a pew Bible close to you there. We're going to read a passage of Scripture which I think you'll recognize immediately. It's one that is fairly common in terms of reading in the lectionary and other occasions during the church year. We call it the baptism of Jesus because that's really what the story is about. It's Matthew's account of the baptism, and it begins in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' And Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" This passage of Scripture, and we talked about it last year as we were having a video study related to baptism and those type of issues in the public ministry of Jesus. For a lot of people, there's some angst. There's some anxiety that's created around this whole thing of, just as it was with John, why should I baptize you? The perfect Son of God, why should I baptize you? It is I who should be baptized by you. And Jesus gives the answer there. But believers through the years, through the generations, sometimes have been confused by it. But there need not really be any confusion. Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, his some believe mentor, John the Baptist, was connected basically to two different kinds of baptism. The first of which is stressed primarily in the Gospels, and that was a baptism of renunciation of personal sin. You know, at that point in your life where you pledge to God, "I'm going to walk with you. I want to be yours. I want to be known and associated with you. I want to be a child of God. And so I make my public stand. I turn from my sin. I repent from that." That's generally what we associate with baptism. But let's back up. If you'll remember our study last year, before John the Baptist kind of became known as that wild man with dressed in animal skins and eating locust and honey and screaming "turn or burn." I mean, before that persona, we know that he was associated with some pretty solid spiritual teaching at the Essene community at Qumran. Now, within that context, as we studied last year, that they had baptisms which were purification. It was the idea was a personal cleansing. And we saw on the video where those baptism pools were that they used for that type of exercise and that type of discipline to cleanse themselves. So if John was associated with that, and many scholars believe that John actually mentored Jesus within that setting. So if that's the case, it was in that kind of community setting where John mentored men for ministry, Jesus for ministry, and Jesus was associated and affiliated with that type of community life and that type of ritual baptism. But whether all of that is true, whether the scholars are correct or not, still, whatever the background circumstances may have been, it's important to note that Jesus recognized, even as we should recognize, that baptism is related to taking personal responsibility. It's taking responsibility for ourselves and our actions and our faith in God. Baptism isn't just a Baptist thing, nor is it, interestingly enough, exclusively a Christian thing. If you go back and read, many of the ancient polytheistic cultures had baptismal practices. In monotheistic tradition, the Jews, Judaism, had baptismal-like rituals for lifelong Jews as well as for converts. So it's not exclusive to Christianity, but Christianity is exclusive in the sense that our understanding of it is about personal responsibility and acceptance of grace and mercy from God. Now, some Christians have believed or discovered and kind of get a little anxious. Later in life, they may look back at their baptism and say, I really didn't know what I was doing, or I didn't fully understand everything that I feel like I should understand. Or maybe they were baptized when they were infants, and so they said, well, I never really had any choice in my baptism, so I want to experience believer's baptism. And that is the scriptural model. But going back to the first kind of objection, sometimes as adults, we begin thinking, well, my baptism wasn't valid or it wasn't as meaningful as I wanted it to be because I didn't understand everything that I understand now. Well, of course not. Of course not. Of course you didn't then. You know, I like to believe that I've grown in my faith now versus 10 years ago, let alone back years when I was baptized. Okay, so it's a growing process. And I'm afraid the trap is sometimes we think, well, you know, I didn't fully understand it now. I do think I fully understand it now. And we get a little bit hung up on our own sophistication, or so we think. But you need to understand the gospel is simple enough that a child can understand it. The sacrifice that God gave, the perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ, his son, a child can understand that. Not with abstract concepts like an adult, but in concrete terms. And scripturally, that is what's required. Hopefully, from that point of concrete understanding, we grow. Every day, in our understanding of what it means to walk in grace, to walk in faith, the nature of having that relationship with Jesus Christ daily. And hopefully that all begins to enhance our understanding of our baptismal experience. Hopefully that's the way it worked. But understand, it's about responsibility. You know, baptism is not what we do in order to get in good with God. It's not something we do to earn God's favor. That's not the purpose. Interestingly enough, Scripture does not even mention infant baptism. The only baptism in Scripture is that of by choice. By choice. A decision that we make to be associated publicly with Jesus Christ. The form in Jesus' day happened to be baptism by immersion. That's the way we believe Jesus was baptized in the river, and he certainly didn't ask his cousin and possible mentor John to baptize him because he was afraid that he was going to die in his sin, because we know that Jesus was without sin. Baptism for Jesus was a means of identifying himself with a given ministry, with a given mission. He knew what God had for him to do. He was, through his baptism, taking responsibility for whom he had discovered he was and who he was to be and what he was to do, regardless of who approved or who disapproved. And the reason I mention the disapproved is because all around the world today, at this very minute, and certainly throughout history, there have been those in politically oppressive situations, people who have chosen to be baptized literally at their own peril, where an admission of identifying with Jesus publicly through a baptism could be a death sentence. It could be an imprisonment. For many, that occurs even today. Even when they could deny their association with Christ, they choose not to at their own peril. Baptism, what does it mean to you? What has it meant to you? just because you braved the cold weather today, I'm going to give you a bonus, okay? Interestingly enough, for our discussion, the word Baptist was originally a derogatory term. It may still be, just depending on whether you watch the news or not. It was originally the Church of England, the Anglican Church. They made fun of this group, a little sect that grew up near London, and they began to baptize as believers, as adults. You see, the Church of England, the Anglican Church, had been baptizing in the tradition of infant baptism. And so this was new information for them. They didn't know what they were going to do with these people who were baptizing adults. Now, we know that some of them sprinkled, others immersed, but whatever the method, King James was not at all pleased. He didn't like this one bit. Officially, he tolerated this little group, but that was a long way away from approving of it or accepting them. He didn't like it. The Baptist, who came to embrace their nickname and their faith traditions and their personal responsibility for before God as believers, even though they were much more about just the method of baptism, eventually they would suffer for their beliefs. Some endured persecution, others death, simply for taking responsibility for their own spirituality by seeking baptism as a believer. Are you connected with Jesus? Are you publicly identified with Jesus? Baptism was a visible act that said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. That was then. This is now. My question is, do you have the courage to embrace a new direction for ministry? Because after all, we are all ministers. As believers, if you don't believe me, turn on the back of your order service and look at there where it says, ministers, all believers. We're all believers. We're all ministers as believers. So my question is, do you have the courage to embrace a new direction in ministry that God is leading to you to? Are you willing to make your public stand to be used by God and turn your face toward the mission that He has for you? That's a big question. That's a question for each of us to answer individually. There's also a question of how you will act out your faith, how you will demonstrate your faith daily. And as we come to the Lord's table is a celebration, but it's also a remembrance. It's a remembrance of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, made for us. So I invite you as we enter into the celebration of the table to examine your heart. Let God speak to you in the few moments before we begin serving. Allow Him to touch you at that point of your life that needs to be healed or that point that needs correcting. Allow His Spirit to minister to you even as we begin the Lord's Supper. Let me say a word of instruction. If you're a believer, we invite you to partake in the Lord's Supper. We practice open communion, which means if you're a believer, we invite you to partake, whether you're a member of this church or not. We want you to share communion with us. So prepare your hearts now as we go to the table. Thank you. bread reminds us that no matter where we are in our life, whether we're angry with God, whether we're hurt, whether we just can't fully express our frustration with life, or whether we're walking with Christ daily and feel really good about our journey at that point, no matter what our circumstance, no matter where we are in life, God reminds us to remember the gift that He gave us. Everything else comes in perspective as we remember that. Let's take and eat.
Recommit yourself to Christ
can do that certainly right where you are. But if you'd like me to pray with you, I'd be glad to do that as well. If you're here and you say, I really would like to be a member of College Park, there's many ways you can receive members, I'd be glad to discuss that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that and stand and sing together. Always on our lips and always on our mind. In Jesus' name we pray.